Nick Mitchell and Lynette Garland are here for the Mikado Pittsburgh Savoyards, running March 6th through the 15th at the Carnegie in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming out on a cold day.
Well, thanks for having us.
Nice to see you. Nick, is this a first time for you directing a Mikado with the Pittsburgh Savoyards?
This is my first time directing with the Savoyards. This is my first operetta that I've directed in 17 years. The last was L'Amico Fritz back in college days in Oklahoma City. I've done the Mikado once before, but it was 22 years ago when I was in, well, let's call it seventh grade. And you can all do the math from there if you want to know how old I am, I guess. We decided to go a very traditional route with it. There are a lot of productions of the Mikado that use a lot of anachronistic motifs. They'll have people pulling out cell phones. They'll set it in different places. For my first foray with the Savoyards, I decided I wanted to do something traditional, which is not to say that there aren't moments of humor, but all of it exists within the structure of the piece. There's one small exception. I've allowed our Coco to rewrite the Liszt song, which Gilbert himself did twice before they produced it, to make it a little more accessible to the public and make the jokes a little more modern and funnier to the average theater goer. Not to say the original words aren't great, but it's fun to hear a Kardashian reference or something along those lines in the middle of a traditional piece.
A lot of people know the Mikado because it's one of the great favorites of Gilbert and Sullivan, but for those who have not seen it, give us a little background. Maybe you can tell a little bit of the story here.
It really reads like a 1970s Telemundo soap opera. The plot seems very convoluted, but once you get down to it, it's a tale of mistaken identity and love lost and found and lost again and then found somewhere else. A young maiden is engaged to her ward, Coco, who in our production is double cast, is Michael Greenstein and Michael Perry. They're both doing a fantastic job. And the maid is enamored with a second trombonist instead of her ward, would rather marry him. What turns out that second trombonist, who is Nanki Poo, played by Sean Lenhart, is actually the son of the emperor, the Mikado, and is undercover because he doesn't want the attention, because he's supposed to marry the Mikado's lady-in-waiting, who is Karisha, who is described as not altogether pleasing to the eye, although she has a lovely left elbow. In our production, Mary Beth Cederberg will be playing Karisha. I think I mentioned Yum Yum, and I left out that Elizabeth Rochelle and Madeline Romito are playing Yum Yum. So the story follows those four characters basically attempting to find a happy ending.
And what is a Mikado?
The Mikado is the emperor at the time. Gilbert and Sullivan wanted to write a piece that was about all the inconsistencies of the law in British society and how full of folly they were. And they decided, after doing a whole lot of experience with magic and supernatural in some of their earlier pieces, that they wanted to do something that had no element of the fantastic and was just a straightforward, well, at least as straightforward as it gets from the previous description, story. And they decided to set it in feudal Japan because that was the farthest location they could think of where they could talk about themselves and not have it look like they were talking about the British government at the time. So it's also a satire in addition to a soap opera.
There are several Gilbert and Sullivan greatest hits in the Mikado. What are they?
Three Little Maids from School is the one that generally people think of right out of the gate. Pitty Sing, Yum Yum, and Peep Bo sing that lovely trio. Our Pitty Sings are Judy Kirby and Hilary Caldwell, and our Peep Bos are Sabina Balsamo and Mia Bonwell. The other that jumps to mind is A Wandering Minstrel Eye, which is Nanki Poo's opening song, where he tells his stories of being a second trombone, which isn't accurate, but it doesn't matter to us at the time. And the Liszt song is the one that I mentioned earlier that gets rewritten time and time again, and it's always an audience favorite.
Nick Mitchell is the director. Lynette Garland is the producer?
Yes, that's correct, Jim.
What are you doing, Miss Producer?
Well, I'm sort of like the project manager and just overseeing the whole production and making sure everything's running well. I'm very excited about it. You know, it's one of the most popular of Gilbert and Sullivan's operas, and it's really going to be a lot of fun. We have also a really wonderful Japanese-style set, and costumes are lovely. I mean, it's really going to be a very good time. We have done it many times, but every production's different. You know, the directors have a different take on it, and it's just It's really, the music is so fun.
The chorus, where do your singers come from?
We get them from all over. One of the great things about this cast that I found is we have a father-son, we have a father-mother-daughter in the production team. We range in age from 17 to, we'll just call it retirement age, so to not throw anyone under a bus. But they all have either background growing up singing, church singing, or formal training. And Guy Russo, our music director, who Matt Brown, our accompanist, has been playing for, brings out the best of these voices. He's done a fantastic job of getting even the voices who aren't well-trained to mesh with those who are.
And how many players do you have in your orchestra?
Right in the orchestra?
Do you have any idea?
Yes, there's about 30 in the orchestra.
So it's a substantial number of players.
It is.
I thought the last time I heard the Savoyard Orchestra, they sounded great
under
Guy Russo's direction.
Yes.
So it seems like the company's doing well. Now, what else do you think people would be interested to know about this production?
Well, also on our opening night production, we have a free reception after the show where you can come and have free food and drink, and you can meet the cast, the crew, the orchestra members, and the directors, and we really have a good time with that. So that's included in anybody who comes that night gets in.
You told me you're also doing a collaboration with Undercroft Opera. What's that?
We are. We're doing something we call the Passport to Japan. And for a $40 ticket price, you can go and see the Mikado and also Manor Butterfly, which is in May. Let's see, it's May 28th to 31st. And also, there's somebody here from QED that's starring in that production.
Can we reveal the identity of this person?
I think we can. It's Anna Singer, who's going to be Manor Butterfly in that production. So the idea is that we have these cute little passports that are based on a Japanese passport, and you buy one of these, and you get in to see the Mikado and Madam Butterfly by Undercroft Opera.
And it's going to set me back how much?
$40.
Sounds like a bargain to me.
It's a steal.
It is a bargain.
Now, Nick, what do you think of the theater you're working in, the Carnegie?
The Carnegie Free Music Library, I like two things about it. One, the acoustics are fantastic in there. We do not use microphones. We do a traditional style. I have asked if we would ever think of using microphones as when technology is there. But after hearing the acoustics, I find that our singers are going to be able to carry it themselves. The second thing I like is just the rich history and the people who come in there. You know that a lot of shows, a lot of history has happened in that building, and they've embraced it. The music library themselves is actually doing a collaboration of a staged reading of the Civil War to make use of some, which is a Frank Wildhorn musical, to make use of some of their memorabilia in the house. So they're very connected to the arts, and we're lucky to have a home there as the Savoyards.
Now, you may not know, Lynette knows, that Pittsburghers are very averse to the idea of crossing the river. So to get them to come to the Carnegie, one must, from Squirrel Hill anyway, cross the river to get over there. It's easy to do, is it not? It's really, what, 15 minutes from Squirrel Hill?
I'd say it's about 15, 20 minutes.
So parking is how easy?
Well, there is parking at the library. There's also parking down below, and there's a free shuttle bus that will actually take you right from your car up to the door.
And there's a terrific coffee shop which has light sandwiches right at the bottom of the hill. I like that place.
Yeah, there's some really good restaurants, actually, in Carnegie. In fact, there's a new sushi restaurant right down to the bottom of the hill there. And there's a bunch of other really good restaurants right, I think Papa J's is there and some others.
Yeah, and the guy is even brewing up mead if you haven't tried it.
Indeed, the meadery is there. But it's sushi and the Mikado. I can't think of a better evening.
Perfect combination culturally. Now, Nick, I want to know more about you. Is this your first production in the area? You were born here, so Pittsburgh is not new to you.
It is not. I went to school in Oklahoma City University after growing up in Erie, Pennsylvania. After that, I moved to New York City for 5 years, where I found great success as a bartender and found that to be somewhat culturally unfulfilling. I did go to several auditions. I went to about 5 auditions, and I booked 2 jobs. So things weren't going that poorly, but I needed to get back to my roots, which at heart, I love to act, but directing is what I feel my strength is in the arts. So I moved back. I worked with a company under the guidance of Ted Watts Jr., who just recently got his master's from the Actors Studio in directing. and our production company was Empty Jug Productions, named after a bottle of wine that we had finished when we named the company. We produced it at the Academy Theater in Meadville, Pennsylvania, which is another rich, historic theater. For 2 years after I moved here, they then were able to take the reins themselves and have been churning out fantastic productions up there. I just saw their Avenue Q a couple of weekends ago, and they should be commended for it. Then I focused more down here. I've worked as a performer and a sound designer with the CLO Gallery of Heroes, which is their touring educational program that goes out into the schools. I've done that for 8 years. I'm currently in the Next Galileo, which is an original piece by a local artist, Joe Demensik, that is touring the schools. And I found another friend of mine had a startup company called The Company of Pittsburgh. They did 3 shows before he needed to take care of some personal issues. We did The Last 5 Years by Jason Robert Brown, Man of La Mancha, and Title of Show, which is a smaller art piece of 4-person. I directed The Last 5 Years and production managed Man of La Mancha and then directed Title of Show. Since then, I've been going to interviews and getting hired to direct. I did Oklahoma at the McKeesport Little Theater just this past fall. And 2 days after we open The Mikado, I'll be directing Hello Dolly at the Elizabeth Grand, yet again, another historically rich theater out in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania.
It sounds terrific. You said you felt a calling to be a director. What do you love about directing?
I enjoy the big picture, and I enjoy the fact that even though I'm the director and I am giving people suggestions and telling them where to go, I recognize that I'm not the smartest man in the room. Aaron Sorkin in the TV show Sports Night once wrote a quote saying, "If you're stupid, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you." And that's what I feel I can do when I'm directing. I can foster a collaborative environment, and I can have all these ideas, and then I get to see and pick and see how people are going to look good. I always tell people, if they trust me to work with their ideas in mind, I won't ever make them look like a fool.
Lynette, this is a company, the Savoyards, Pittsburgh Savoyards, with a great long history. I don't want anybody that's listening to us on the radio to take it for granted. Why do you love this company so much? You've really put a lot of yourself, your time, your effort, and your art as a musician into Pittsburgh Savoyards. Why do you love it so much?
Well, it's really like a family for me. I mean, I spend a lot of time with the people in the orchestra and the company, and they're just really like a family. And it's really a good environment for playing music and putting on productions.
So to encourage people to come to the show, what have we got? We've got a show that is a masterpiece of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Indeed.
A new director. We've got all kinds of good things going on here. A terrific stage. A stage setting. You mentioned on our short list. Give me more. Why should we come out to hear this show?
Well, you have a full orchestra, and the singers are great. The show's going to be great. Rob Hockenberry is doing the choreography, and it's just really going to be a lot of fun.
And with a producer like Lynette, when I say I need 100 parasols, 15 swords, and 17 fans, she says, "What size?" So we get them all within days. Come see the show. It's an incredible cast with a lot of work, and it's amazing to think that these people are amateurs when they conduct themselves in such a professional way. It's amazing.
Any last words from you, Lynette?
Yeah, come see the show.
I hope you
shorten
make it
to the point.
I hope you make it through tax season. Thanks so much for coming out. Wonderful to meet you, Nick.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And always a joy to see you, Lynette. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim.